Hello and welcome to Truth for Today with Terry Fant. And yes, I'm your host, Terry Fant. In a world full of confusion that leads to chaos, the answer for clarity is the absolute truth of God's Word. It has stood the test of time. I hope you'll listen to this message with an open heart and that God would speak to you one-on-one through it. If you're ever in the Florence, Mississippi area, then we would love for you to join us for live worship. Please feel free to reach out to me at terryfant@icloud.com. May the Lord bless you as He draws, shapes, and instructs you. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Amen. It's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And by the way, what a beautiful day. Wouldn't you agree with me? Wish there was a way we could have church outside, don't you? On times like this when it's so beautiful and just right. It won't be long here in Mississippi and it's going to be flaming out there, right? But right now, it is very nice. If you have your Bible, I want to invite you to join me in Romans chapter number 8. Or if you make your way to Romans chapter 8. Now, I know this morning you're thinking, now, wait a minute. Usually, Sunday night's message is attached to Sunday morning's message. And you'd be thinking correctly. But you're going to see that it's connected in Romans chapter 8 rather than Ephesians chapter 5. All right? So we're going to just dive in. Romans chapter number 8, we're going to cover a good portion of it. I hope that's okay with you guys. And we're going to go on down through about verse number 17 together. Did any of you get a nap today? Hold your hand up if you got a nap. Okay, all right, that's a little better than half. And so I just want to encourage you that Sunday should be a day where we catch up on some rest. God did that in the creation, and so we learned He rested on that day. And we're reminded that a day to rest is important for our bodies and our minds. The best version of me and you is rested, full of worship and praise, right? Launching out on the second day of the week. You know what the second day of the week is? Monday. And so the first day of the week, God sets the tone in our heart, okay? Romans chapter number 8. Did you get anything out of this morning? We learned that if there's going to be a pushing back on the darkness in our culture, it's not going to come from the government. It's not going to come from more laws or more prisons or more money or more education. But if there's going to be a pushing back of the darkness, the responsible people for that pushing back is the church. Now, the church are those people who've been born again, right? So that's the church. And so really, the truth of the matter is, if you're here and you're born again, that means me and you. It's our responsibility to push the darkness back. Now, do we do that with name it and claim it? Do we do that at spitting at the devil and all that nonsense? No. Scripturally, the way we push back against the darkness is how? To live a life led by the Holy Spirit. Living led by the Holy Spirit will push back the darkness. That was our main idea from this morning. We're going to build on that tonight here in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, okay? Again, a letter by the Apostle Paul. This is one of if you read through Romans, it's a magnificent book of theology and doctrine, and we learn that he deals with the Jew and the Gentile alike, that neither one has any hope except for Jesus, and that's good news. And so tonight, I want to invite you to stand to your feet, but smile. Wait a minute. Before we stand, let's smile one time. Y'all look like you ain't quite woke up good. All right, now let's stand together and read Romans chapter 8 together, all right? Romans 8, 1 through 17. Now, chapter 7 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Word of God, not because of any other reason except for that I can identify with it very well. Chapter 7 deals with the battle of the flesh and the spirit. Any of y'all deal with that? You ever have a war of temptation going on in your heart and your mind and your life? And Paul deals with that in Romans 7. He talks about, you know, at the end, when he comes down to the end, he's like, who's going to deliver me? So the thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. The things I should do, I don't do. And how to get there, I don't know. And then he gets to this point where he says, who will save this wretched man that I am? And he ends it in chapter 7 by saying, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he starts in Romans 8 and begins on with what we're going to be reading. So put your eyes with me, if you will, on Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now, don't you love this verse? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you love to hear that verse? You ever heard that verse quoted or on a shirt, on the back of a, I'm going to show you, it's probably a misrepresentation. Huh? I like that right there. Like, wait, what? I'm going to show you that most places it's quoted, most places it's used is a misrepresentation. I'll explain, okay, as we go along. So now, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, Paul said, from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, not that the law was weak, but it was weak through the flesh, right? We couldn't live the law. God did. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. But how do we walk? Led by the Spirit. You're starting to see a theme here? Led by the Spirit, starting to see a common thread in what we looked at this morning. Okay, hang on. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the worldly mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, he's talking to the church, to those who have been born again, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, okay, you reading? He is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, boy, I love that right there. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Now, wait a minute. I thought I was free. Free indeed. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I owe, all right? Not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are, oh, here it is, led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God and daughters. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. All right. I know that's a lot, but we're going to unpack that. Okay. In a very simple way, I believe. And I believe we'll leave out of here tonight with some very great transforming information. Okay. Let's pray together. Father, we covered a lot there. And Paul said a lot as you chose him to write 3/4 of your New Testament that's handed down to us. Lord, we recognize that he was a very well-thought man, a man who thought things out, a man who, led by the Spirit, said a lot in a little bit of space. And so I pray that tonight you'd help me both to preach it in its entirety. Father, that I would preach it rightly, dividing the word. God, that I would preach it in such a way all of us could understand. And Lord, as you help me to do that, because in fact you can use anybody, and you can use me, and therefore you truly can use anybody. And tonight, as you use me, would you also transform me? That's what I pray, that you'll transform us tonight by the preaching of your word. May our hearts be fertile soil. May our hearts be tilled up and ready to receive the implanted word, the seed that goes down and brings about fruit, righteous fruit in our lives. We pray that you do that tonight, right now, this moment. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now we're going to rewind again like we do back to the beginning of this passage. And the title of our message tonight is Birthmarks of the Believer. And that's plural, but we're really going to look at one. But there are many birthmarks, and it's why I put it there, because later on, maybe when I'm going looking for things, I can find it in a list, if you will. And so Birthmarks of the Believer. And the second part of the title has two parts. Isn't that fancy? Birthmarks of the Believer. The second part of that, led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's the title. Birthmarks of the Believer. And tonight specifically, led by the Holy Spirit. Okay. The main idea tonight is followers of Christ are led by the Spirit. Would you write that? Followers of Christ are led by the Spirit. All right. Will you write that? I know you see a different main idea up there. That's all right. You just write the one that I'm saying instead of the one that you're seeing. Okay. Followers of Christ are led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now here we go. I want to show you something about verse number 1. Let's go and look. I have tonight, if you will, 5 different statements I'd like to make that point back to those who follow Christ are, okay, led by the Spirit. Number 1, we are led by the Spirit away from condemnation. All right, would you write that down? Number 1, we are led by the Spirit where? Away from condemnation. We're never led by the Spirit to condemnation. We're led away from condemnation. Now, first, let us determine what is referenced here when he says condemnation. He's talking about actions that are condemnable. You with me? It means things that are against the nature, the character, and the will of God. It would be in opposition to the Word of God. It would be the carnal way of thinking or the way of doing, the worldly way of thinking and doing. It would be opposite of the kingdom way of thinking and doing. All right? We together on what he's talking about? And so he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Now, most of the time when you see this verse on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt, you only see the first part. And when you hear people quote it, they'll quote the first part. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And they leave off the most important part of the verse, which helps us understand who the people are who are not being condemned. The ones who are in Christ. And somebody said, well, okay, I'm in Christ because I prayed a prayer. That's not what he's talking about. He says very plainly, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And then, because he knows, God knows, you and I struggle sometimes to understand who are ones who are truly born again. God knows before the foundation of time that you and I would say, hey, anybody who prayed a prayer, this specific prayer is going to heaven. That's not true. And so God knows that we would say, well, if I've been born again, doesn't matter how I live. Uh-oh, there's a theme from this morning. There's no condemnation in my life. Don't judge me because I've been born again. So how I live doesn't matter. And on the contrary, Paul says there's no condemnation only to those in Christ who are walking by the Spirit. Oh, you're putting the pieces together here, you see. He says that a person's life who is led by the Holy Spirit is living a life that will not be in opposition to God's will and God's way. He's saying a person who is surrendered to the Holy Spirit is going to be following the ways of Christ. They're going to be making disciples. They're going to be sharing the good news. They're going to think on holy things. They're going to be, now I'm not talking about perfect people, but I'm talking about 9 out of 10 times this is going to be the story of their life. And I want you to understand tonight that sometimes we've gotten this wrong because we say, well, I prayed a prayer and I'm in Christ, and so I can live how I want to live. There's no condemnation in my life because I'm in Christ. Don't miss the second half of the verse. Only to those who are walking by the Spirit. If you're walking by the flesh, it doesn't apply to you. Oh, now let that settle in for a minute. Have you ever heard that said when you heard somebody teach that verse to you? No, we hear, no condemnation. I can do what I want. Nobody can ever look down on me. No, no, no. He said there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ who live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. It's what the whole rest of what we're going to look at is all about. I am thoroughly amazed at how human beings could take one verse, extract it from the text, erase the context, and make the verse say what makes us feel better. Isn't that cool? No, it's not cool at all. It's dangerous. And so let's look at what it says. Okay, so Roman number one, and you know, we are led by the Spirit away from condemnation. What's the point Paul's making? Paul's saying that when you and I are led by the Holy Spirit of God, he's going to lead us away from things that are condemnable. Come on, somebody. I wish y'all just do something tonight. Y'all just kind of looking at me. I know you're processing this thing, right? But understand, he's saying the Holy Spirit, when we follow the Spirit, we'll never follow the Holy Spirit into a condemnable action. We'll never follow the Holy Spirit into a condemnable thought. Is anybody with me tonight? Boy, it is silent in here. And I feel like I'm preaching in an empty room in this moment. But the condemnation comes when we start living according to the flesh. That's when the condemnation comes. When we start doing what we want to do, when we want to do it. And then there's condemnation. Huh? Then the enemy heaps condemnation on us, doesn't he? And he says, yeah, you did this, and you did that, and you did that, and you did this. And then the condemnation gets heavy, doesn't it? And usually when we feel condemned, we back away, and then we isolate. And we're sort of like that little lamb that gets outside the flock, and all of a sudden the lions and the sheep and the wolves are heavily feasting on. So instead, we need to see the Holy Spirit will always lead us away from condemnation. All right. Roman numeral two. I think y'all gonna need a little time to process that. So I'm gonna leave that one with you. Okay. We are led by the Spirit. Where? Away from condemnation. He'll never lead us into condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ who are living led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Now you do realize, some of y'all looking at me like, you're making this up. I need you to put your eyes back on verse number one, just so you make sure that I didn't add anything to the verse or take anything away. All right. Everybody there, you see it, read it with your own eyes. It's all there. Okay. Now we're moving on to Roman number two, right? You know, here we are. We're led by the Spirit first away from condemnation, but number two, we're led by the Spirit because of Jesus. Now let me explain what I mean. We are led by the Spirit because of Jesus. How many of you have come to understand what Jesus was saying when he told his disciples that I'm about to leave you, and because of that, your heart is filled with sorrow? But then he followed that up by saying, but it is to your advantage, in John 16, that I go away. Have any of you begun to understand that advantage that he was talking about? Because he said, if I remain, then I can't send the Spirit to you. But if I go and give my life and resurrect and ascend, I'm going to send him to you, the helper, the one who's going to help you, the Holy Spirit. And so you begin to understand the advantage of having the Holy Spirit of God in your life. How many of you have learned the Holy Spirit's advantage in your life? Don't we have the upper hand when we have the Holy Spirit? I say it this way, it's a fixed fight. Now, meaning this, we have all the power of God living in us. And so we have everything we need to be victorious. And listen, in every situation. Now, do we? Not always, but we do. Yes, we do have him, but we don't always yield to him. We don't always, right? We're not always led by him. Matter of fact, I say there are times in my life when I lead the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't lead him anywhere. He's just with me when I go. Oh, does that make sense to anybody tonight? I'm afraid that we've carried the Holy Spirit to some places that he ought not be. Anybody would amen that tonight? I think about what life is like living it without the Holy Spirit. And when people come and they say, I've got these struggles in my life, and oftentimes, just because I serve in the role of pastor, God will allow me to meet people, strangers, friends of your friends, family of your family, and they'll come and want to have a conversation, and they'll talk about their life that is in shambles. And I'm listening, but I'm looking for an opportunity always to ask that most important question. You know where I'm going, don't you? They're telling me about their struggles and how empty life is and what this is going on and that is going on, how their heart is heavy and how they feel unfulfilled. And I'm trying to find that window. I'm praying the Holy Ghost gives me a window to point to the most important question to ask. Do they have a guide? Do they have an advantage? Are they living this life alone? And what I mean by that is, do they have the Holy Spirit that comes at salvation? And that's what I'm getting at. And I'll try to get to that place. And then I get to that place. And sometimes I'm reminded of a whitewater rafting trip that I went on with our youth many years ago. And I see Gomez is in the house. And there was a section of our journey in that whitewater in that Coe River where our river guide decided he was going to be cute, jump out, run to the end of the rock, and was going to jump back in, except that we had a little more weight in our boat, maybe, that he was anticipating. And our boat got away from his rock before he could get back in. And so what happened was, we were now navigating the Ocoee River without a guide. I want to say something to you. You think that they're not that important, right? Because they say, throw us three strokes right side. You paddle three strokes right side. You think it's no big deal till you don't have the guide. Man, we were spinning. You can ask them, it was bashing against rocks. There were places we'd just spin out in the middle of the river. Looked like you'd be flowing. We'd just sit in one spot and spin and spin and spin. The point of the matter is this. You don't want to live life without the guide. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. He is our advantage. That's what Jesus called him. So, number one, we're led by the Spirit away from condemnation. Number two, we're led by the Spirit because of Jesus. Now, I want to read verses 2-4 and tell you what I'm talking about, all right? Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. So, chapter 7, he's talking about all this law and versus sin and all the struggle that he has. He said, but Jesus has made me free. I don't know if y'all can relate to that, but when I hear that, I just want to jump and shout because I've been made free too. And freedom sure does feel good, doesn't it? Freedom does feel good. And he goes on to say in verse 3, for what the law could not do, and I love the way he explains this, in that it was weak. And so maybe you're looking at that and you're saying, how can God's law be weak? Because it came from God, right? And God's perfect, and what God does is perfect. And so how is the law weak? And then Paul explains it in case you don't understand. He says the law is weak, but it wasn't the law that was weak. It was weak because of what? Through the flesh. Our flesh, our nature was not able to live up to God's standard, okay? He goes on to say, what the law couldn't do because we couldn't live up to it, God did. What is that? To make us right, to make us righteous, to make us holy, to sanctify us. God did that. How did he do it? He did it by sending his son. Do you see it? His own son. And how did he send him? In the likeness of sinful flesh. So he was God, but he took on also the form of man. And he came down to earth in the likeness of flesh on account of sin. Why did he do that? Because of sin. Why did he come down? Because sin had to be dealt with. God, the perfect judge, had to deal with sin. And rather than having to deal with it in us individually by casting us in a lake of fire, he chose instead to deal with it in the person of his son so that whosoever would call on him could be forgiven. Amen. And receive a full unconditional pardon and receive the advantage of his Holy Spirit. Let me read a little further along. Verse 4, the righteous requirement of the law is now fulfilled in us. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is verses 2-4 talking about? He's talking about the fact that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we can receive the Holy Spirit. The only reason you and I can have the Spirit of God living in us is because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. So notice in those verses, all that he's trying to tell in there is that we are led by the Spirit all because of Jesus. So when you're thankful for the Holy Spirit, you ought to be thankful for who? Jesus. You ought to be thankful for Jesus. But when you're thankful for Jesus, you ought to be thankful for who? God the Father, who loved us enough to send his only Son. And so we begin to see again the part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let me read a little further. So second, we said we are led by the Spirit because of Jesus. Now, I'm going to give you two places in the scripture for you to write in your notes, and I'm going to show you the same picture that he just made in two different places. So write this in your notes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Listen as I read, okay? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It's going to be on the overhead. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but instead you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's the gospel. That's gospel means good news. That's the good news, okay? Now, the good news led to the advantage. You might write that down somewhere. The good news led to the advantage. The good news, Jesus Christ came down to earth, died for our sins, rose again. The advantage, the Holy Spirit now living inside us, okay? Now, let me show you where that those two come together, all right? Ephesians 1 and verse 13, okay? Write in your notes. Let me explain. Paul said early in his note letter to the church in Ephesus, in him, speaking of Jesus, you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth. So a person, when they are saved, they must be saved by the word. It is the word of God that says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is the word of God that says the eternal gift of God is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the word of God that says, you with me? So they have to hear the word in order to be saved. You can't just say, hey, you're a bad person. You ought to ask you. There needs to be some scripture, you see, that goes along with it. Because it's the word of God that has the power to move a person's heart. And so he says, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, let me read a little further. In whom also, you're reading with me? Having believed. Now, he's about to talk about this salvation, this because of Jesus and this advantage. Okay? The promise of God, the Son of God, and the advantage, the Holy Spirit. Okay? The gospel and the advantage. Here it is. After having believed the gospel, Jesus, or having believed, what happened the time, the moment you believe, what happened? Help me, somebody. You were sealed with? Oh, so there's no second thing that has to happen for me to receive the Holy Spirit. According to the word of God, here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13, after having believed, end of story, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So if I was to ask you, when did you receive the Holy Spirit? What would you say? When I was saved, when I trusted in the good news that Jesus died for me and rose again. Isn't that very simple? It's so simple that a child could understand. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, so number two, we're led by the Spirit because of Jesus, the good news, the gospel. Number three. Am I going too fast? Y'all okay? All right, Roman numeral three. Still talking about followers of Christ are led by the Spirit. This morning we said, living led by the Spirit, right? A life led by the Spirit pushes back the darkness. So we learn tonight that we're supposed to be led by the Spirit, okay? Roman number 3, verses 5 through 11. In your notes, write this down, okay? We can be led by the Spirit to think and to be different, okay? So we're talking about being led by the Spirit. First, led by the Spirit away from condemnation. Number 2, we can be led by the Spirit because of Jesus' death and resurrection and our acceptance of him. Number 3, we are led by the Spirit to think and to be different. Let me show you verses 5 through 11. So can a person receive, here's a question I would ask you before we read. Can a person receive the Holy Spirit and not be changed? Okay. Can a person say, well, I did what you said. I prayed the prayer, what you told me to do, I did it. And their life never be any different whatsoever and them really have the Holy Spirit of God? I like that. Y'all start like, the answer is no. Let me show you. Okay. Let's look at the text. Again, verse number 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, things of the world. Those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on things of the Spirit. So he's talking about two different groups of people. The condemnable group is led by the flesh. Remember where it all came from, context, right? We remember where he started this conversation, chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus for those who live according to the Spirit. Right? And not the flesh. So now he's going to compare them. How do you know which one you are? Which one's condemnable? Which one's not? The one who is living by the flesh, he says, according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He says those who live according to one are set their minds on the world, the flesh, and the things of the Spirit if they're led by the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, which again means worldly minded, is in fact death. Wouldn't you say that death, that separation from God, is condemnation? Absolutely. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't it amazing how God can change a mind? I want you to think about that statement or that question. Isn't it amazing how God can change a mind? I'm looking around the room and I'm thinking about how you used to think. Some of y'all, if you hadn't deleted your Facebook from a couple years ago or 6 months, 8 months ago, we can go back and get an evidence of how you used to think. Now that's not, listen, I'm not poking fun. I'm saying that's awesome. It's awesome that we can look at such a dramatic change in how you think based on what you post. Isn't that crazy? Like you go from a person posting all manner of garbage, all manner of nonsense, all manner of darkness, to the next time they're posting scripture verses and what God's doing in their life and Friday night Bible studies and friends meeting at the coffee shop talking about Jesus. And who in heaven's name would have said the day before Jesus rescued their heart and changed their mind that they would have ever done such a thing? Not their friend group. They'll say, man, you know what? I bet next week your friend's going to be in on Friday night instead of getting drunk, is going to be having a Bible study. They'll say, you lost your mind. And if you tried to talk them out of it, if you tried to say, y'all been hanging out every Friday night and getting drunk and having a blast, and you said, hey, this Friday night, we're not going to do that. We're going to get our Bibles and get together in a room. You know what they'll do? They'll laugh at you. But when the Holy Spirit of God gets inside a person, he can change your mind. It's unbelievable to me. After as many times as I have seen it, it still catches me off guard. I watch people talk. I'm like, am I still talking to the same person that I tried to share Jesus with a year ago, who laughed at me, who wouldn't have given me the time of day, who now wants to, who's telling me what they're learning? I'm telling you, it still, after all these years, blows my mind how Jesus, how the Holy Spirit of God can change the mind of a human being. And by the way, I'll say this, one of the greatest miracles under the sun is to change a person's mind. You don't believe it, go try it in your own strength. So let's pause and just think about the magnitude of how you think so differently now. And nobody gave you a pill to make you think different. And nobody, you didn't have to read a book of philosophy to think different, but you got saved and you received the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit began to change how you think. That's amazing. I love him. I don't know about you guys, but I love him and he's still changing my mind. And I pray he's still changing yours, okay? Looking back at the text, he says, verse number 7, because the carnal mind is enmity. You can't say that you are born again, but you still think about and do all the things that you used to do before you were born again. You can't. It's enmity. What he's saying is it makes you an enemy of God. If you're living in opposition to God, you can't claim to be his child. You say, well, as a child of my daddy, I lived in opposition to my earthly daddy. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit in your life when this relationship has everything to do with the Holy Spirit. And so let me say this way, you ready? Child of God, the Holy Spirit will not let you live in outright opposition to your Heavenly Father. He will, we used to say it like this here in the South, he'll eat your lunch, if you will. And shape you and change you and cause you to repent, right? All right, picking up in verse number 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, now he's talking to the believers, he says, but you, listen, you're no longer in the flesh. You no longer only think about the things of the world. You no longer are enamored with what the world has to offer. Not anymore. God's changed you and is changing you. And he says, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, notice there's a big if. You need to circle that two-letter word there, if. That's huge. That's a condition-based statement. And the condition here he's talking about is salvation or not. The Spirit or not. He's saying, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, then you are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you, you are not in the Spirit. Then he says, in case we didn't get it, the Holy Spirit says it again through Paul a different way. You reading the end of verse number 9? Now, if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He can pray a prayer. He can go to church. She can teach small group. They can go on mission trips. They can give all their money away to the poor. They can go do yard work, help folk. But if they don't have the Holy Spirit of God, they do not belong to God. Wow, that's almost too straightforward, isn't it? All right, let's move forward just a little bit. Picking up again in verse number 10. And if Christ is in you, then the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Here's what he's saying. He's saying the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that'll make you alive on the inside and cause you to think different and live different. Isn't that good? I'm so glad that that kind of power is available. Listen, to whosoever will call on his name. Number four. Everybody tracking okay? All right. Next, we're going to write, we are led by the Spirit away from sin. Away from sin. I want to say it to you again where we started. The Holy Spirit will never lead you into sin. He'll never lead you into sin. He'll never lead me into sin. Okay? Picking up. Now, we're going to read. This is going to cover verses 12 to 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Now, that's interesting because haven't you heard that we are free? And Jesus paid our debt, right? And so we say we're free. We don't owe anything because Christ paid our debt. And in fact, in the high court of heaven, it's absolutely right. We are debt free. We no longer have a sin debt. But we are indebted to people made in the image of God, Greek and barbarian is what Paul said, to share the gospel. We owe them. We're indebted to them to share the good news. We are indebted to show the world, to tell the world about Jesus. And so he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. And we're debtors not to the flesh. So listen, what he's saying is, I don't owe my old self anything. Huh? Now, your flesh is pretty cunning, isn't he or she? Talk you into say, well, you know, you can go back and just have a few drinks. You know, you deserve that. And you tell yourself, well, I owe myself that, I guess, you know, for old time's sake. I say this a lot lately. Nostalgia gets a whole lot more of our heart than God does sometimes. I'm going to go listen to some of that old music, just have one stiff drink to kind of think about old times. And boy, before you know it, you'll be drugged down a path you can't imagine you went down. And your head will be in your hands and you'll say, how in the world did I destroy my marriage, my life, my business, my... And it's amazing how cunning the flesh is, okay? Reading on, he says, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you'll put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So I'm indebted to the Spirit. I'm not indebted to the flesh. I mean, I owe the Holy Spirit my allegiance, right? You see what he's saying? If I give him my allegiance, then what's going to happen is I'm going to truly live. I'm going to live the abundant life. If I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, if I say, you know what, Holy Spirit, you've done this for me. I owe it to you to surrender my life, to yield to you in the daily routine of life, in the things I talk about, in the people I disciple, in how I respond in traffic, in how I treat my enemies, and how that person at work, whether it be the boss or coworker or employee that just pushes every single button that I have and then some, how I live that out, you see, is a testament to whether I'm being surrendered to the Spirit or to my flesh. And so it makes it clear there that the deeds of the body. Now I want you to notice something here. What he does not say in verse number 13 is that you need to put to death in your own strength the deeds of the body. You see, is anybody tracking with me? So again, we see this theme that he's not saying try harder. Because he says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. We try to put to death the deeds of the body in our own strength. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put to death. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist this temptation. I've got a strong willpower. I'm not going to do it. You will never kill the deeds of the flesh that way. Matter of fact, using the law to kill the deeds of the flesh will only increase its strength whenever he shows back up. But if by the Spirit's power, we yield and allow him to kill the deeds of the flesh, all of a sudden, we're walking in victory. And we're doing things we never thought we could, and we're not doing things we never thought we couldn't. And we live in this place of freedom. It's a wonderful thing. If we're led by the Spirit, he leads us away from sin, okay? Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. These, only those that are led by the Spirit. I'm going to conclude here. Number five, can you believe we got there? We're right on time. Can you believe that? Whatever that means, we're going to make it on time, whatever that means. We are led by the Spirit. Finally, number five, we're led by the Spirit as children of promise. Oh, boy, I love this. We're led by the Spirit as children of promise. Did you know that if you're born again, you're a child of promise? You've not yet fully received all that Christ has afforded you on the cross. Let me say that to you again. If you've been born again, you've not yet received all that Christ bought for you with his precious blood. Did you know that? Yeah. We won't get all of our inheritance until we get to heaven, we get home, and we're on our way home. Listen, let me give you a thought you may not have thought about today. We're one day closer. We're one day closer to home. And so today, think about this. When we get home, what we're going to call the full glorification. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you and I have been glorified, right? Christ has brought us from glory to glory, but we're not all the way there. You with me? We're more sanctified than we were when he found us, right? And if we'll yield to him, the Spirit will continue to sanctify us. We talked about that this morning, the will of God, our sanctification. It's a process, and he's doing that little by little by the Word, by the Spirit, and by the church. That's what he uses, the three great resources of God to shape us and sanctify us. But when we die, the moment we draw our last breath, no matter if it's through cancer or through suffering, if it's on the side of a road in a car accident, the very next breath is going to be full glorification. Can you imagine that? Hey, it's worth the suffering, isn't it? It's worth the difficulties. It's worth the hardships. It's worth following Christ, because our next breath on the other side will be the pristine air of heaven. And can you imagine a 1 second of rest from the fight of the flesh? Just 1 second of that sounds so appealing to me. But think about eternity. Never having to fight those thoughts again. Never having to choose to be led by the Spirit again, but to be made perfect like Jesus, to have the nature of Christ perfectly. I can't wait to get home. And you know what? I want people to go with me, though. I want as many people as God will allow me to lead to go home with me to see and meet and know the Savior that I know. I don't know about you, but it ought to be how we live our lives. Okay, here we go. We are led by the Spirit as children of promise. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So when you received the Holy Spirit, it wasn't a list of rules that you got, right? When you received the Holy Spirit, it wasn't a list of laws for you to start and stop doing. You received the spirit of adoption. In other words, you're not just a person that God wants to impose his will on and a person he wants to put on a leash and put all these rules and regulations on. No, you received the Spirit as his son and daughter. He brought you into the family. And in this particular time, in Paul's particular day, did you know that adopted child had more of a sealed, secure right than did the own biological children? In this particular day, you could separate from your biological family, but once the proceedings had happened in Paul's day where a person was adopted, it could never be revoked. Think about that for just a minute. Think about the adoption that happens when he says to me and you come, and when we come as enemies, he turns us into sons and daughters. Let me read. He says, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom this same spirit of adoption, he helps us to cry out. When we're talking to God, we don't have to cower in the corner. We don't have to have a certain term that we use for God all the time, but we can say here, the reason that Paul chose this word, Abba, Father, is like saying daddy, father. It's an endearing term. It's a close term. And so what he's saying is we don't have to sneak in God's presence now that we have the Holy Spirit. We can be comfortable in his presence and we can cry out to him for help in our time of need. And we can repent when we've committed sin and get right back up and be led by the Spirit. And I'm telling you, this wonderful relationship, we're able to say to him, daddy, daddy, I need you. Or daddy, I've messed up. You know, one time Brooklyn had a car wreck, and she called me. It was about midnight, I guess. She called me, and she said, I could tell she was kind of shaking, and I said, hello. She said, Daddy, should I, my car's still running. I'm like, wait, where are you? And she said, well, I think I'm in a ditch. I can't see out on both sides, and the car's still. I said, hang on, do you smell gas? You know, and she said, no. And we talked through, and I got her to cut the car off, and walk away from the car just in case something was wrong with the car. And she said, Dad, I was so panicked that I just sat here for about 10 minutes, you know, and didn't. And I said, baby, listen, from now on, rule number one, when something happens, call daddy. Call daddy right away. Call 911 if you need to, but then call daddy or call mama. And the point I'm making is The same thing is true, how much more so with our Heavenly Father. And sometimes we find ourselves in a ditch, or we find ourselves in a situation and we feel like we can't call out to Him. And that's a lie from the enemy. We've been adopted as children. And so in our times of need, in our times of mountaintops and rivers and all the stuff that we experience, sometimes our joy goes down, sometimes it goes up, sometimes we're frustrated. I'm telling you, there's all kind of emotions and things that we face in this long journey called life, but we can always, always call out to Him, Daddy, Daddy. So step one, and with Him, you don't have to call 911 first. He is 911. And you can call out to Him and you can say, Daddy, I need you. I'm feeling lonely. I'm feeling discouraged. Whatever it is on your heart, you don't have to put a mask on and play games with Him. He already knows your heart. And here's the deal. You ready? He loves you the same. Even when we have wrong thoughts and attitudes, He still loves us the same. So we have this Spirit in us now. Led by the Spirit means that we can openly talk to Him no matter the situation. We never have to hide in the corner and be silent and isolate. We can always draw near to Him. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony tonight. The birthmarks of a believer. What is the birthmark we looked at tonight? Led by the Spirit. We talked about the fact that followers of Jesus are, in fact, led by the Spirit. This morning, when you put the two together, followers of Christ are led by the Spirit. Tonight, this morning, following the Spirit, all right, a life led following the Spirit pushes back the darkness. Why don't you and I consider tonight something? All right, before you put your stuff up, let's consider it. Why don't we consider going out into the world, in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, and push back the darkness by following the Spirit's leadership? What if we just wake up in the morning and get in the Word of God and say something like this, Holy Spirit, would you lead my conversations today? Would you put people in front of me that need to know Jesus? Would you allow me to pray with somebody today out in the public, somebody who's hurting? Put somebody in my path that I can be the answer to somebody's prayer by your Spirit's power. Now, I want to encourage you in closing. Would you bow your head with me for just a moment? Few things, just saying we're led by the Spirit away from condemnation. We're led by the Spirit because of Jesus. It's the good news that made possible the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can be led by the Spirit to think and to be different. We don't have to be who we used to be. Or maybe for you today, you don't have to be who you are today. He can change your mind and change your life. We're led by the Spirit always away from sin. Isn't that wonderful? He'll lead me and you away from it if we'll follow. And finally, we're led by the Spirit as children of promise. He said, the Spirit Himself bears witness. Listen with me as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Means we have an inheritance coming. Come on, somebody. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I wonder tonight if we would examine our lives, if we would see that birthmark. That birthmark that identifies us as different than the rest of the world. That birthmark that has given us the moment we believed. That birthmark being the presence of God's Holy Spirit and how we think and therefore how we live. Father, I pray tonight as we enter into this time of response that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I believe tonight, a night like tonight when we've heard messages on the Holy Spirit all day long, that your Spirit's speaking to somebody for the first time and they're a little bit uneasy, they're a little unsettled, they don't know why they're feeling led to do something. But I pray tonight they'd have the courage to respond to whatever it is that you're leading them to do. Father, if there's someone within the sound of my voice, whether in this room or somewhere else, who your Spirit is now leading into a relationship with yourself, may they hear your voice. May they consider for just a moment the great love you've chased after them with. How wonderful it is to hear your voice, to say to them, come to me and I'll forgive you. I'll give you rest for your weary soul. Father, I pray tonight someone would acknowledge Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross, was buried and resurrected so that we could be made right with you. Lord, we must repent and we must turn to you. I pray somebody would do that tonight. God, save somebody tonight. Father, for the one who's wayward, who's been far off country, God, by your Spirit, lead them home. Same trail that led them away, they can turn and come right back and you'll meet them right where they are. Father, I pray that you'd move tonight in great power, that people would find freedom tonight, that your Spirit would get a hold of us and send us out to be your example. Now, Father, we give this time of response to you, and we pray, please, please, let us listen. Let us yield. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with